This podcast has some strong language, baby. You've been warned.
Welcome to the rabble. We are leaving a trail of cupcake crumbs to the pearly gates of civic engagement here in Texas.
We're your hosts. I'm Ashley Chang.
I'm Becky Bullard.
Okay, today it's Ledge Day.
Woo!
So exciting. We are recording this on Tuesday, January 12th, 2021. It's the first day of our, I should have looked this up before, 87 session. I know it ended in a seven. How many years have we been around?
Who knows?
Not as the Rabble podcast.
What is time?
We would know. Why don't? Anyways, very exciting times. And we are recording this episode. We're coming off of our hiatus because it is such an exciting day. And we wanted to bring back one of our very favorite episodes of all time. So we wanted you guys to be able to hear an interview we did with Stephanie Chiarello, who is such a gem, and you're going to find out in a bit why if you don't already know her. She is the combination, a magical combination of a comedian mixed with someone who actually has real life experience in the Texas Ledge for many, many years.
There truly is no one better to explain Texas politics than Stephanie, and y'all are in for such a treat. And I can't believe that this was only the third episode that we ever recorded. And it's one of my favorites. I'm so happy to be bringing it back. Of course, some things are quite different here in 2021 than they were in 2019. So some of the dates that we mentioned in our interview with Stephanie will be not exactly right for this session. Session is going to be very different this time. And
we don't even know how different. And it started an hour and a half ago from when we're recording.
That's right. Yeah. So even our legislators aren't even quite sure what this session is going to look like because of the pandemic and because it's just such a different environment than it was 2 years ago. Yeah. So
listening again to this ep really does, I mean, she really does break down exactly how a bill comes to life and how it's passed and how regular everyday folks like you and me can get involved in the process. So that process might look a little bit different, as Becky said, this year, but I think the basics of it should be the same.
Yes, the basic structure of how bills become real boys and girls and
non-binary
bills. I don't know. Real people. None of this makes any sense. That's fine.
We were doing better on our third episode. I guess that's the other thing you learn. The longer you do this and you try to learn about politics, just the more tired you are, the less sense you make.
Yes. A couple of very specific things to look out for that have changed. We have a new speaker of the House and will have a new speaker pro tem. So we mentioned Joe Moody being the speaker pro tempore of the Texas House. He's not anymore. Also, we talked about Kirk Watson being a state senator. He retired in between last session and this session to become a professor. So he no longer a state senator.
True.
What else we got, Ash?
We probably by now have a new Speaker of the House, Dade Phelan. I've had to check many times to make sure I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's spelled with a P-H-E-L-A-N. You'll probably be hearing his name a lot in the coming months. Dade Phelan is our new Speaker of the House. There was a really great Texas Tribune interview with Evan Smith, the editor over there. The podcast is called Point of Order if you want to look it up. But we get to hear from him and a little bit of what he thinks the session might look like. And he's a Republican, sadly. That kind of broke my heart listening to that again. And he references an interview he did with Celia Israel before the election last year. And would be really great if we had a Democrat up there as the Speaker of the House, but we don't. Sadly, we have this Republican from Beaumont, but he's getting a lot of heat for working with Democrats, so at least there's that. Maybe there's some hope this session. And then, of course, also Stephanie in the interview, she mentions the presidents of the Senate, who is still, sadly, our Lieutenant Governor, Dan Patrick.
Boo!
And the other thing that I just wanted to mention that was big news that came out today that I wanted to make sure y'all were aware of is that our Texas comptroller, Glenn Hagar, announced the new budget that they have to work with. Because one of the two big things that we know that the legislatures will have to do this year is to pass a to end balance a budget for the next 2 years for the state of Texas. And the other one is redistricting, which we love to talk about.
That's a whole thing.
But a lot of people were really nervous that the budget was going to be drastically reduced. And, you know, the last session passed a lot of really did some good work on education, and there's a lot more work to be done. And of course, I think a lot of people are worried that this session, obviously there's a lot that needs to get done around healthcare in Texas, and that costs money. But the budget, I guess, isn't as low as people were afraid that it might be. So,
well, that's a surprise.
I know, big numbers kind of make my eyes glaze over, but the budget last time around was $112.96 billion. And then the budget this time around that they can work with is $112.5 billion.
Oh.
So that's like, it's not that
it's
bad.
It's just like a couple decimal points.
So maybe there will be room to ask for good things to happen.
And another thing that's been flying around the social medias is about the makeup of our Texas legislature. And I was reading again from the Texas Tribune. Basically, we're just a Texas Tribune fan podcast. But one of the things that they called out is that there are more people named John in the Texas House than there are female Republicans in the Texas House.
That's so depressing.
Right?
This is from, I got an alert the second at noon today, the second that the session, I guess, was called in, from KUT, our local Austin NPR station. And they also pointed out, yes, in case you were wondering, white men are still overrepresented in the ledge, and it's 61% of lawmakers this year are white, even though white people make up 41% of our state's population. So awesome. But I will say, I was just impressed that reporters are still so actively, I feel like they're actively reporting these things more than they used to. Maybe that's just in my mind, but it feels like people are pointing these things out left and right more often.
Good. Maybe they'll start to change.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll make sure of it. But let's get to the interview with Stephanie.
This week's episode of The Rabble was recorded at 4:50 p.m. on Thursday, January 24th, 2019, in the great state of Texas, where the official nut is Dan Patrick.
Actually, it's a pecan. So I just got really curious about how all of this works, and today we have invited in a special guest, Stephanie Chiarello, who is a longtime legislative staffer. She spent 6 sessions working in the Senate and the House in the Texas legislature. She's got a public health background, and she is the creator of a political comedy show called Over the Ledge, which is amazing, and y'all should check it out. Thanks for being here, Stephanie.
Thank you very much for having me, Becky. I appreciate it.
Well, since you're such a pro, I'm so excited that we can ask you all of these burning questions we have about, for instance, let's start from the beginning. Where do bills come from, Stephanie?
Well, there is a tree on the governor's mansion's ground. That's a great question. So bill ideas come both from the legislators themselves. And what you'll really find is that every bill is personal.
Hmm.
Right. So you look at a bill and you're like, why did that person file a bill about adoptee parents? And you know what? It's because that author is an adoptee parent or an adoptee. Mm. So that's the first thing I've always found, is that every bill is personal. But the legislator will have the idea. Advocates will bring the idea to the legislator. And that could be an organized group, paid lobbyists, or just people who have organized independently. And it can be just a constituent has an idea. So, for example, last session, we had a constituent who was a combat medic, and we don't offer license plates, specialty license plates for combat medics, although we do for other decorated veterans. And he said, why don't you recognize combat medics? He just wrote us an email, and we're like, yeah, why don't we? And we passed a bill for him. So you can get a bill idea from anywhere.
Well, that's interesting, and that's that makes me realize how incredibly specific a lot of these bills are, and also goes a little bit to explain why we have so many that get filed every session, because lots of people have lots of very special interests.
They do. So I'm sure you, just like me, lay around thinking about how you can make the world a better place, right? So you're like, well, if only we.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I wish? I wish that I... you know what I wish? I wish that credit cards would give me their receipt. You know, when you get a credit card receipt, I wish there were the taxes separated.
Oh.
So then I could always file that on my tax return. Does that make sense?
That's a good idea.
Right? It is a good idea. You got it, MasterCard. Run with it.
Somebody has a brilliant idea for a bill. It gets written up by somebody smart, I guess.
Who writes or a terrible idea
oh
for
my
a bill.
God, no. Technically, you want an organization that's called the Legislative Budget Board to write your bills for you. And these are lawyers that are members of the government. LBB is a governmental agency, and they look at the law and make sure that they draft a bill that is appropriate to the law.
Okay.
Okay. But you could write a bill idea down on a napkin.
Have those ever gotten passed?
Oh, I'm sure they have. I mean, you don't keep – I mean, the napkin doesn't. But certainly – an amendment certainly does. When you're on the floor, especially in the old days before computers, you could just scribble something on a piece of paper and hand it to the parliamentarian, and suddenly it's an amendment.
Gotcha. Okay. So then the LBB ideally drafts the bill.
Yes.
And then what happens to it?
And then you need to file it. So the only people in the world who can file a piece of legislation are the legislators themselves, so a senator or a representative. The governor can't directly file a piece of legislation, neither can the Speaker of the House, neither can the lieutenant governor. So when they talk about their agendas and their plans, they have to get legislators to file those bills for them. So any bill can be filed, and that's about the only thing that happens in the legislature that's fair. Right? And it doesn't have to be constitutional, and it doesn't have to be legal, right? You can file anything.
Okay.
Okay. We could file a bill that said every building in Texas will be named, you know, Stephanie is the greatest. Even though that's true, but ridiculous, you could file any bill.
Yeah.
And how long do we have? Like, say I come up with a brilliant bill, how long do we have to get our legislators to actually file them?
March 8th is the deadline. So it's 60 days after the start of session. It's the last day you can file a bill without having to suspend the rules. So session starts in January. It's 140 days, and it's every other year. So you might think, oh, I should start shopping my idea around in January. And the truth is, really, you should be shopping your idea in May of the year before. Right, because you really want to get stakeholders involved in what's going on. And I highly encourage anyone who has an idea to go sit down with their representative or senator or their staff, especially people here in Austin. They're right here.
Mm-hmm.
They're literally right here in your state. And if you're listening to this podcast outside of the city of Austin, everybody has a district office. And they represent you. Call them up and say, I have an idea. After a bill is filed, that's about the only guarantee anybody has with a piece of legislation, is that you can file it. And then about 99.99% of the time, it gets referred to committee. That's the second step. But after that, it's Game of Thrones. It really, really is. There's nothing fair. There's nothing logical. It's all just a game. It's really a game from there.
So this means then that the person in charge of whatever committee the bill was submitted to has a lot of power, right?
Right. Committee chairs are remarkably powerful. So just yesterday, the House named committee chairs, and there were some surprises. And last week, the lieutenant governor named chairs. So you would think that a chair has some autonomy, and that's theoretical. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the chair does control what bills get scheduled for a hearing and then what bills get voted out of committee. So just because your bill has gotten a hearing doesn't mean it'll get a vote. It can die in committee without ever getting a vote. And all of that relies on the chair.
Okay, so bill gets filed, and then goes into committee. The committee chair decides what happens to it. Before the bill gets moved to a vote or not, what is the opportunity for average folks to get involved in this process?
The bills that get scheduled in committee, that's a public hearing. So that means that members of the public can come and testify. You can testify in two ways. One is in written form, and the other is verbally sit down and be a witness. So you have to fill out a witness card, and then you say your name, your address, you're for or against the bill, and if you want to testify orally or not. That's the great first place for people to come in. But again, you really should be coming in earlier than a committee hearing. So the second a bill gets filed, you should be looking at it and evaluating it. And if you notice that there's something you think needs improvement, you should talk to that bill author very quickly.
How do we find out when it is time for us to testify or register our support or opposition to a bill?
There is a publicly available website called Texas Legislature Online, or TLO. And I encourage everybody to go to that website, and you can sign up for your own account. It's called My TLO. And then you can create searches in there about topics that you care about, subjects, committees, and then you can get an email alert. So I think earlier you said that the committee chair controls everything in the committee. They control what bill gets heard and then if the bill gets voted on, but it still is a committee vote.
Okay.
The public can come and testify at these committee hearings, and I really encourage people to do it. You typically have 2 minutes to talk before the committee, and both they should be nice to you. I think people get really nervous about testifying, and the truth is they're not going to pick on you as a member of the public. They're going to pick on me. As a lobbyist, they're going to attack another agency for not doing their job, but they're not going to pick on a member of Joe Public. And if they do, this is an incredible social media marketing moment for you to illustrate a legislator behaving badly.
That's right? True.
So you have 2 minutes, and this is what I see a lot, and I encourage people not to do, is they're like, I only have 2 minutes. Oh, God, I've never done this before. And boom, you have lost 10 seconds of your two-minute time.
Yeah.
Right? So my recommendation is write down what you want to say. Make sure that it is personal and specific, and then practice saying it. Right? Everybody's got a timer on their phone right now. Practice talking in front of a mirror, because you're going to get nervous. And you know what our voices sound like, right? We get a little constricted. But practice a whole bunch. And just realize that it's 2 minutes. They're going to be nice to you, and it's fine.
That's really great advice. And I'm so glad to hear that, because on our last episode, I discovered a bill that is very personal to somebody in my life. I want to make sure that I'm following it and that I am getting up the gumption to go and give testimony when that gets heard. So I'm happy to have those tips. And I think, yes, I'm definitely going to write down what I want to say and practice ahead
of
time.
And are you for the bill or against it?
I am for it.
Okay. It is SB 269.
Thank you. Yes. I don't know what the caption of that bill is.
That is to protect domestic abuse victims from financial.
Yeah, that is a great bill. And then there's a Senate version also that Zaffarini filed, right?
That's the one that we were talking about, is the one that Zaffarini filed. The one
you said Senate bill, right?
Yes.
You're right. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Great. So you can even start writing letters right now. Okay, so the bill's been filed, and like I said, that's the only thing a bill gets. It gets filed, and then it does get referred to committee, right? So when that you're going to set up your alert in My TLO to tell you when any action happens on that bill. So as soon as it is referred to a committee, then you're going to want to start talking to that committee chair and that committee members and asking them to please schedule this bill for a committee hearing, and then tell them why. And you can write letters and you can call. So you want to start advocating way before the committee hearing.
That's great to know, because, you know, as somebody who only started paying attention to all of this in the last couple of years, I think what gets a lot of attention in the media are the testimonies and when that happens. But for those of us, you know, who are new to this, it's great to hear that I can start now. I don't have to wait until something gets scheduled for a hearing.
You don't. And the committees meet regularly, typically on the same day of each week, and they can only meet for a certain period of time. So normally your bill is heard 1 week and then voted on the next week. What people will do if there's a bad bill is they'll try to – I mean, and it's up to anybody to decide that a bill is bad, but they'll look through that committee report for mistakes. And then you can call what's called a point of order. And if it's big enough, you can kill a bill on a point of order.
So this is kind of like – getting it killed on a technicality?
Right.
Okay.
Right. But the technicality, the decision if that technicality is big enough or not, is left to the parliamentarian. And the parliamentarian is an employee of the president of the chamber.
Okay. So it's a partisan appointment.
It's a partisan appointment that's supposed to be nonpartisan. But again, this is kind of like two rings to rule them all, right? Like it's the president of each chamber. There is some really exciting footage that if you're not watching The Bachelor tonight or whenever it's on, back in 2007, at the tail end of 2007 in the House, they tried to overturn the speaker. They tried to elect a new speaker, and it was Speaker Craddock, and he failed to recognize a member to call for a vote of non-confidence, or I don't really remember what it was, okay. And the parliamentarian was telling him he had to do it, and he wouldn't do it, so the parliamentarian resigned right there on the spot. And I'm dramatizing, okay? I think she wrote it on a napkin, right? Or she wrote it on a piece of paper. Gosh. I'm out of here. So that footage is on YouTube somewhere. It's super fascinating. Like, these okay. are the sort of things that I love to watch.
And right? then Tommen jumped out a window and died, and Cersei blew up the Red Keep.
Thanks for ruining that, everybody. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm going to make sure I link to the YouTube video of that.
Okay. Yeah, it's super dramatic exciting. Moment. And that really is like government at its finest, honestly, because you've got people challenging, using rules, and trying to represent the people. And that's where you get to see where absolute power kind of corrupts absolutely. And so these are the things I sit around and eat my popcorn watching. I
Would
don't know
you,
about you
say it's kind of like the Hunger Games and they're all fighting on behalf of us?
Yes.
Against President Snow?
That is exactly what is happening, okay? But there's also a little like the other Boleyn girl is going on. Oh. Game of Thrones is going on. Poor Frodo with that ring. It's a burden, okay?
Oh, my gosh. Now I just want to go home and, like, Netflix a bunch of things.
Becky's like, I don't know what any of this means.
No, no. You do. I watch the TVs. Okay. All right. This is all so helpful, and I love having somebody who knows and who's been doing this a long time explain it to me, because trying to read about all this stuff online made me cross-eyed. So this is great.
I try to tell people, do more than nothing. I think that advocates get overwhelmed with, what should I do? What's the right thing to do? I don't have a lot of time. And then they end up getting like paralyzed into inaction. And all I ask is that you do more than nothing.
I think that might be the new Rouser tagline.
I was like, that's going to go on a T-shirt.
Do more
sure.
than nothing.
Do more than nothing.
Thank you, Stephanie, for that.
You bet. So there is a tracking system inside the legislature called CMS. It's constituent management. And so every time you call or write, in every office I've worked in, we enter that data into CMS, and then we share that data with our boss, right? So when I give a bill recommendation to my boss, I say, here's this bill. Here's who was for or against it in committee. I recommend you vote yes or no because 870 people wrote you in favor of it. Two people wrote you against it.
Wow.
Here's my recommendation. So
now,
we keep track.
That's so sorry, Becky. Mm-hmm. Asking for someone whose name rhymes with Schmishtenschnun, if you call every day and say something over and over again, does that help you or no? Like at that point, if I've, you know, put the against on my little column, is persistence then a moot point or not?
You got to decide what you're trying to do, okay? So I think everybody thinks about a win as if the bill passes or not, and that's actually not every win. In our office, we count you once, okay? If you call every day, you can talk to me all you want, but I'm only counting you as yeah. one person. Yeah. But if you're trying to block a bad bill, if you're wasting staffers' time by calling them every day, that's a great tactic, because if I'm answering the phone every day and then I haven't gotten around to writing my talking points, mm-hmm. and then I have to rush my talking points and they're crappy, and then I haven't quite prepared my boss, right? It's a butterfly flapping its wings. You have no idea what could ultimately happen from that action. So it's a tactic that's good to stop bad bills.
Gotcha.
Right? But it's not necessarily going to stop that bill. But it might. And timing is the most important thing in this session. It's 140 days, right? So again, you go to a committee hearing, you have 100 witnesses instead of 10. It takes longer to write the committee report. There's more opportunity for error in the committee report. If I can't get the committee report out fast enough, I can't get the bill on a calendar for another day. Maybe it gets behind another bill that everybody hates. Like, you have no idea what piece of the puzzle is going to make the tower fall. right? So you want to touch it every way you possibly can. So yeah, it's effective. I'm not counting you more than once.
And you might not like us very much.
I might not. And that's certainly something as an advocate you need to think about. One thing I talk about, like people writing letters or testimony or emails, like please don't make any threats.
Oh, God.
Right? Don't make any, like, both against the life of the legislator or, like, I will vote against you. I will tell 10 of my friends and they will vote against you and you will never show your face in a Walmart again. Okay? Like, they get it. They already know. Right? And you never know when you're going to need a member.
Yeah.
Right? You absolutely don't. So you should be truthful and honest and say, please don't ask for a committee hearing on this bill of yours. It is bad because, right? Be clear, concise, and honest. But you don't want to call somebody names. You don't want to threaten them because you might really need them. They might be terrible on women's health issues, but really great on education. And you might just need them later. So finding that balance, though, and a maturity from them also. And this is a problem between the legislators themselves, right? Like, your legislator might vote the wrong way on a bill, but it's because they've made a deal, right? They've said, I'll vote for your bill over here if you'll vote for my bill over there. And what you want to do is elect a leader who you believe can make those really tough decisions mm-hmm. and know what to sacrifice for what to gain.
You know, I recently went to a Texas Trib event where one of our senators here in Austin, Kirk Watson, he was asked what his advice for new members of the legislature was. And it was basically forget whether your colleague has a D or an R next to their name and just approach them as a human.
Yeah.
Because the only way to make progress is if we're not in our partisan trenches.
Certainly. Certainly. And I, you know, I've worked for Democrats this whole time, but recently on committees, I'm working with Republicans and I'm realizing that they're just people. Mm-hmm. And it's really been an interesting moment for me to not think of them as an enemy, to recognize that they're nice and smart. And we have so much more that brings us together than divides us. And especially as women, I might be going like off on a tangent here, but they sure come up with stuff to keep us from working together. Mm. And if we could kind of lay down some swords, right? I've got friends who are anti-abortion or I am pro-choice. And I'm like, why don't you put down that sword and I'll put down this sword? And why don't we work together on equal pay and maternity mm-hmm. leave and child care and domestic violence eradication? Like if women would work together on those things,
yes.
You'd be amazed what we could do. And then you'd be amazed at how the abortion battle will go away.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, girl, you are speaking my language.
You are always welcome, by the way, to go on a girl power rant on the show.
Thank you. So, yeah, I mean, every time an abortion bill comes up, it's just a way to keep women from working together. It
Fuck
really
that
is.
Shit.
I wanted to just add, I mean, all we got to was like committee, right? So a bill has to get voted successfully out of committee. Then it has to get placed on the calendar. The House has a more complicated calendar system than the Senate does. Then it's got to make it to the floor. Then it's got to make it off the floor. And then guess what? The bill has to go to the opposite chamber and do the exact same thing again.
Oh, my God.
And then at the end of the day, both chambers have to pass the exact same version of the bill. And if they don't, if it's been amended in one chamber or the other, they either concur on the opposite chambers. Amendments, or they go to conference committee.
This sounds like...
Okay, and then it goes back, and then it goes to the governor. So this is all... On TLO, they have the, like, life of the bill, but you want your government to be slow and deliberative, and we have mastered that here in Texas.
Yeah. So the main answer that you've given us is where does a bill come from? There's a lot of hands, a lot of people involved in making a bill, baby, sounds like.
There is. And, like, your bill will die, and then you will resurrect it like a phoenix somehow by amending it onto a bill. And people sneak these amendments on. They sneak them on Saturday morning at 3 o'clock in the morning when people are exhausted and not paying attention and not reading. They sneak them on in finance committee. And even in conference committee where you're supposed to not go outside the bounds of the bill, suddenly they've added something in there. Right. So it's fascinating and it's wonderful and horrible at the same time.
Now I see why all the people I know who work in the legislature are just exhausted by the end of it.
Yeah.
This has been so wonderful and such a great education. I'm going to just end with one last question for you on a lighter note. What is the strangest bill you ever have seen filed?
So these are the things I thought of about the strangest bill. One was a bill that would make feminine hygiene products tax-free, but only for a limited period.
Period?
Boom! Okay, that's both true and a joke. Okay, so I just wanted to tell that one.
That's hilarious.
The other true bill is about feral hog hunting from a hot air balloon. This is a real bill, and I'm pretty sure it passed. But you were asking, like, what are the crazy shenanigans? Mm-hmm. Like, I so badly encourage people to watch the House feed or the Senate feed. And they're available online through TLO. If you have Spectrum Cable, there is a TV station that broadcasts these, and all the archives are available. Because they're just people, right? On one hand, you're like, oh, my God, they're legislators. And they are very powerful and should be respected, right? But they're just people. Right. So they will do the same things we do when we get hangry or frustrated. So at the beginning of every session, they vote on the rules for each session. Each chamber does, because you're never going to bind the hands of future legislators by previous rules. So there was two members whose offices were right next door to each other. And one member smoked inside of her office. And even though you're not allowed to smoke in the Capitol at all, legislators are sort of given an awful lot of leeway inside of their offices. Well, they shared a vent, right?
Oh, no.
So his office stunk because she was smoking. So he offers a rule that says you can't smoke in your office. Well, then she gets up and is like, well, you can't light a candle. You can't staple paper. You can't. I'm making that one up. I can't remember what they were, but she came up with like all these other things to try to make an example of like other things that smelled. So you're watching them. I mean, again, you can find this. It would be it's probably the beginning of 2017. Go to the first day that the House worked on their rules, right? And it's Donna Dukes, former representative from the East Side, and I can't remember who her neighbor was, but they're fighting like children. They're fighting like children, and that's when you're like, yeah, they're just people.
Yeah. Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
We'll have you back again soon to make us smarter again.
Yeah. Got it. I'm here to help.
Let's go pass some bills and stop them.
I just want a nap.
Stephanie just the best.
She is. And it was so fun for me to re-listen to that and hear the very first moment. It was like a surprise to me, like a surprise gift I got to unwrap suddenly when Stephanie said our tagline.
That's right, which she lovingly gifted to us and let us use, do more than nothing.
Which, looking back on it, I mean, we mentioned a second ago, this was our third episode ever. That was 2 years ago, about 2 years ago that we recorded this. And that same tagline that Stephanie gifted us, do more than nothing, ended up on a cake in a photo shoot that we did for Austin Woman Magazine earlier in 2020.
Well, we'll link to that Austin Woman Magazine article. I think that writer, she was amazing, and she described us, I think, better than we could describe ourselves. So if you're new to us and you want to know more about Rouser and the Rebel podcast and all about us and what we've been up to, check out that Austin Woman article.
Yes. And if you're new to us and you're thinking, these two, they're okay, I want more Stephanie. How do they get more Stephanie?
Which is fair, and you should want more Stephanie. She has her hilarious comedy show, Over the Ledge, spelled L-E-G-E because of the Texas legislature, which is what it's all about. And season two of her live Over the Ledge podcast launches this Friday, January the 15th. It will launch live on Facebook at 7:30 Central. We'll link in the show notes to that event on Facebook. But you can also find season one of Over the Ledge in any podcast store. And season five of the Over the Ledge video show, Over the Ledge Unmasked, is a series of videos that you can watch on their YouTube channel, which we will link to as well.
Love it.
Another thing that has been interesting in listening to this conversation from 2 years ago is not just like the mechanics of what has changed in terms of, you know, how legislature might be operating this time, but also the tone and kind of, I think, especially for Democrats, the amount of hope that we have for accomplishing things.
Yes, say more.
So there was one thing that really stuck out to me from our conversation with Stephanie when she was talking about, you know, let's lay down our swords and find ways to work together across the aisle. And oh man, that was a little bit like painful to hear in this moment when actual weapons are being, you know, brandished by rabid Trump supporters, encouraged by people in the Texas Republican Party. And so this whole metaphor of laying down swords, not so much a metaphor.
Exactly. Yeah, it is interesting. Like, I am all for calling for unity and like to think of myself as a reasonable human being who sees the good in other folks. But there is a point, I think there you have seen, because, you know, finally some Republicans decided that they were going to accept our election results, that there's been calls for unity across the aisle. And it's just like, maybe not right this sec. Maybe not, because of the whole white supremacy thing. And
well, yeah,
literally like perhaps trying to take over democracy.
Unity can happen once there's consequences for like violent overthrow attempt of the government. Like, maybe let's deal with that first. Yes. I don't know.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. And something that was also interesting to reflect on is I've become more and more over since the 2 years since we recorded this episode cognizant of violent language, because I think the reality of violence in people's daily lives has just become more and more apparent to me, especially over the last year. And so I'm catching, and I heard you catch this in conversation together the other day too, Becky, where you said something about attacking.
Yeah, be on the attack.
We're like, wait, no.
Maybe. And time I catch myself and I'm like, no, I've got to think of another way, because I really do think that the way that we integrate words into our thoughts, like, I think that it really does have an effect on,
look what Twitter was able
yeah.
to do, having.
Totally.
Having so Trump exist on that platform. Words matter. Words matter. There's a really good, we need to end this episode, but there's a really good sermon that Representative James Tallarico did at his childhood church. I think his dad is a pastor. Anyways, where he talks specifically, now that I'm talking about it, I have to do the homework of finding this on this video on Facebook and showing it to you guys. But I listened to the whole thing whenever he did it originally, and it's so good. And he does talk a lot about the consequences of violent language in our everyday language, in our everyday conversation.
Something to keep in mind. But if after this episode you're like, well, I want to be involved in this process and have a say in what bills get passed. So that's one of the things that's going to be a little bit unclear in this session, is what opportunities there will be for people to give testimony when bills are in committees. And that's still something that's a bit up in the air. And a lot of the Republican leadership, they are not big fans of virtual testimony happening, but, you know, without a safe way for everybody to gather at the Capitol as they have in the past, we really feel strongly that there needs to be a virtual testimony option.
Honestly, this should exist anyways, because we've had the internet for decades, and it doesn't make sense to only allow people in Austin to testify at these
things. Right? Texas is enormous.
And honestly, we're pretty out of touch. As a native Austinite, I am so out of touch to what is going on outside of the city in the state of Texas. So this should just be a thing. And hopefully we can all make it happen. But how can we make this happen if we care, Becky?
Okay, so the amazing folks at the Texas Freedom Network have all the info that you need to contact your state legislator and petition them to allow for virtual testimony or safe testimony in any way here during this legislative session. So we will link to their site where they have excellent instructions on how to go about asking your legislator to make sure that your voice can be heard this session.
And if you really, really want your voice to be heard, one of the things you can do is run for office. And I know we just are probably so exhausted and maybe feeling a little bit traumatized from the last election season. But this is where we build bench strength. And we have just heard, honestly, we wanted to include this announcement of the May elections that are coming up, because we've heard from so many of you guys, our listeners, over the years of how amazing you are and how you guys have stepped up in so many ways in your community. So I just wanted to make sure that you guys knew that February 15th is the last day to file for those May elections, and it'll be different what you can file for based on where you live. But it's where a lot of the smaller local positions, like, I shouldn't say smaller, but more localized positions, like school boards, some areas will have city council seats up, MUD offices, which I have to like look it up every time I say MUD to double check what that even means. MUD stands for Municipal Utility District. And so they're like political subdivisions that are specific to the state of Texas that represent maybe like around a few hundred households. So it's a really great way to you know, start running for office if you have aspirations and want to make this place less of a shit show.
Because MUD handles like sewage and stuff, right?
Yeah, it does. Nice. They provide like water, sewage, drainage, and other utility related services. So it's like getting super, super into the weeds and the shit in your local. I'm not selling this well. Anyways, there's a great organization called MGAGE. They're a national organization that focuses on advocacy efforts for the Muslim American community specifically. But our MGAGE Texas chapter is hosting a like candidate 101 where you can find out more about how to run for these positions and what they are. And so everyone, I think, is welcome to join those. We'll link it in the show notes as well. But that training will be on Sunday, January 31st at 4:30 p.m.
Sweet. And a way more low pressure way to influence things that happen this year.
Low pressure, like water pressure because MUD?
No. Even lower pressure than that is to fill out the Rabble's listener survey. We will link to that as well. It should only take you a few minutes. We are very excited about the content that we are putting together for this coming year. It's going to be very different from what we've done in the past, but I think that you guys are going to love it. But to make sure that you love it, we want to know the type of stuff that you want to learn about. So we'll link to our survey. Please, please, please spend a few minutes to fill it out because, you know, we're literally nothing without y'all. So
we just be talking to ourselves. You can go to Rouser, our website, rousertx.com, to find that survey too and see some adorable photos of us.
And if you want to see our actual faces on your actual computer in real time, I hope that you will join us next Friday, January the 22nd at noon Central Time for our virtual pizza party where we're just going to be hanging out. Super low pressure.
Eating pizza because
it's more low pressure.
Even more because we're tired and we know you all probably are too. And the legislative session has barely even started. So let's just hang out and eat pizza.
And you can totally wear your jammies because I probably will be because I am almost always wearing my jammies these days.
So. See you in your jammies with optional pizza.
Thanks for being here, y'all. You ledge.
Oh, bye. Probably should have said. And follow us on social at the Rebel TX.
Yeah, we should do that. Yeah, so y'all should follow us on social, Rebel TX.
We haven't recorded a podcast until just end scene.
Okay, really, bye.
Oh, you know what we say? We always go, that's it for our show. Follow us on social. That's what we didn't. We just can't end it. I love you more.
You hang up. No, you hang up.